We're now live.
Okay, ready. Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is Mordechai Palatsko, Alumni of Learning. We're discussing Parashas MR. And tonight, for those of us that are celebrating the beautiful Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer, we can also share some thoughts about Lag BaOmer as well. So yesterday's discussion focused on consistency, and as a matter of consistency, for the past 33 nights, we've been counting the Omer, hopefully with a bracha, and hopefully it's been an inspiration to us, knowing that we can remain steadfast in that consistent mode. And for those of us who aren't able to make it with a bracha, hopefully, you know, going forward, we can incrementally increase our consistency. And the lesson from this week's parsha that we had discussed the other night is a lesson that we learned from the storyline regarding Shaul HaMelech and Agag, also a king from Amalek, and from whom descended Haman, who gave the Jewish people so much torment, as we are aware, during the time of Purim. And the Medrash Rabbah, for those of us who weren't able to join us last night, just to briefly recap, Hashem revealed to Moshe that in the future there will be sages and judges and financiers and villains, as well as kings of Israel. And he saw that the first king of Israel, Shaul HaMelech, would fall by the sword. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu incredulously, is it possible that the future king of the Jewish people should fall by the sword? And Hashem replied, Emor el HaKohanim, speak to the Kohanim. And so for this answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave requires a lot of explanation. And of course, the Medrash Rabbah goes and tackles it right away and directs us to the storyline found in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Desvav, where Hashem, through Shmuel HaNavi, commanded Shaul to Ata lechi kisa samalek v'yichiramtam es kol shalo v'lo sach mol olav v'heimata me'ish ha'isha me'olel ha'yoneg mishar v'atzeh mikom ha'achamor. You should just take vengeance upon everyone because these people need to be uprooted from the world. And Shaul HaMelech, when it came time for him to do so, the pasuk says, V'yachmo Shaul ba'am al agad. Shaul HaMelech and the people had mercy on Tevatzon and the best of the ox and the sheep, the habakar, the hamishtim, the alakarim, and all the beautiful vineyards that the Amalekites had at that time. And so they did not destroy what they were told to do. They did not follow instruction. And so for this, Shaul HaMelech deserves to be punished. But is it enough for him to lose the melucha simply because he failed to listen to a divine directive? Yes, perhaps that is the case. However, the Medrash is really telling us Emor el HaKohanim has nothing at all to do with Shaul's actions regarding Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told us Emor el HaKohanim. So clearly there's something here that's missing from the storyline. This storyline says nothing about the Kohanim. It only speaks about Shaul and his perverse relationship with a fellow king who is a mortal enemy of the Jewish people. But it doesn't say anything about Kohanim. And so when we want to speak about this and answer this and address this concern, we are geared, or we are pushed toward understanding that David HaMelech, when he ran away from Shaul he would not touch, because Shaul was the anointed one. He was the first Mashiach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the king of the Jewish people. And when David sought refuge, he found himself in the town of Nov, and there were 80 Kohanim over there, and they gave David food, and they gave him a place for lodging, and they also gave him a sword that he had used. Well, he didn't need the sword, but he used that sword to cut the head of Goliath off. And so this obviously demonstrated to the enemies of the Jewish people that the war, as well as to the Jewish people themselves, that the war was over, that Goliath and his people that were tormenting the Jewish people for all those days and nights, that whole fiasco was finished. And so when they gave David that sword, they really strengthened David. He had means now to protect himself. And so when David HaMelech left the town because he heard that Shaul was coming, Doeg Adomi, as we know in the storyline, convinced Shaul that the entire town was Morib B'Malchus because they assisted David. And so therefore, Doeg said to Shaul, we need to kill them all. And Shaul did not hesitate when it came time to kill these 80 priests. And so the Kol the voices of the blood of these righteous 80 Kohanim were crying out from the land. They were crying out, and they were asking for, where is the consistency? Shalom Melech, if you deserved, if you felt that we all deserve Misa because we were Moed B'Malchus, then that's the judgment of a king, that we can't disagree with the judgment of a king. But we were your brothers. What about the fact that you showed so much mercy and compassion to your enemies? How could you show mercy and compassion to the people that are your mortal enemies, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had given the divine instruction through Shmuel HaNavi to you to destroy, and yet you have mercy on them? Where was your mercy when it came time to show that same level of commiseration to your fellow brothers in the town of Nov, these 80 Kohanim? And so we learn a valuable lesson with regard to the Midah of consistency. And so this is the theme, I think one of the cornerstone themes of this week's Parsha, the story about Emor El HaKohanim. It's not because Shaul HaMelech did not do what he was supposed to do with Agag, but more so it speaks to what Shaul did do to his own brothers and sisters, making those women, widows, and these were, again, his own family, or an extension thereof of his own family, and it's unspeakable. And so, therefore, this is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very displeased. If you want to tell me about consistency, then you have to show the same level of consistency to your own brothers. And if you want to be consistent in destroying them, then you equally have to destroy the people of Amalek as well. And so this inconsistency is what led to Shaul HaMelech's kingdom falling apart and David HaMelech soon replacing Shaul. But but because we have a few minutes, I also wanted to focus a little bit, just for a moment, on Lag BaOmer. We know that the Gemara in Shabbat tells us that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Eliezer fled into a cave, and from there, it was because the king was, placed a decree, the Roman government placed a decree upon their heads because they had spoken down about the Roman kingdom. And so when they fled into this cave, it was Buxer that provided for them some food and nourishment. There was Amasamayim, there was a vineyard, there was a small amount of something for them to eat, something for them to drink, and because the heat was so great, they rested within the sand, so therefore they didn't have to use their clothes, they slept in the sand. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these miracles for them. And so after 12 years of sitting or so inside this cave, they came out and they saw people, and they saw like they were immersed in the world. And there was a person who was a farmer, and he was plowing his field. And Rabbi Shimon placed his eyes on him as if to say, how could you be busy, consuming your day with this trivial matter of taking care of the land when you should be learning Torah? And this person, he disintegrated. He killed him with his eyes, apparently. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Rabbi Shimon, and he said to him, I didn't let you come out of this cave. When the messengers came to Rabbi Shimon and told him that the king had passed away and now the evil ruling that placed the bounty on his head had been removed, so that you should go out now and start destroying people left and right. So you should go back into the cave. So Rabbi Shimon went back into the cave with his son, and he came out, and he saw the next time he saw someone carrying flowers. And this is a nice way to bring in the Shabbos, because we know that flowers, this person was carrying two sets of flowers. And he said to him, why are you carrying two sets of flowers? He says, well, one is for Zachar and one is for Shamar. And this is the way we're going to bring in the Shabbos and bring it home to my wife. And when she looks at each rose, she'll think of one is Zachar, Zachar Shamar Shabbos, and Shamar Shamar Shabbos. Vishamarta as a Shabbos, that we should keep the Shabbos, we should watch and observe it. So Zachar Vishamar, so Rabbi Shimon turned and he said to the Rabban Shalom, he said, look, what beautiful people you have. And so this was the special midah. We learned from this that if a person has an opportunity to bring home something that creates a level of enjoyment for his spouse, then he should do so. We can learn the story from Rabbi Shimon about the flowers we take upon ourselves. When I first got married, I called Rabbi Tendler, and I said, Rabbi, what should I do? It's my first Shabbos. He says, Mordechai, bring home flowers. So that's a storyline that I remember from Rabbi Tendler. And also, we have another minute or so. It says that the time of Sfira is a Lashon, the Lashon of Sfira, the Lashon of Sapir, which is a Lashon of sapphire. So it's a majestic time. It's a beautiful time. It's a time when we're cleansing ourselves, leading up to Kabbalah Satorah, and we know that incrementally we improve upon ourselves each and every single night. And it's a steady process where we know we can't jump too far ahead of ourselves, because when we do so, we may fall back. So incrementally, we can build ourselves up gradually, which explains the Kedushas Levi as to why we do not say Eshachiyanu when we count the Sfira, and that is because we're not yet in a complete state. And so the time between Pesach and Shavuos is a very most auspicious time, because it's a time when we understand that, you know, as human beings, we have a lot of room for improvement, of course, the speaker included, and there's room for growth. However, this is really a lifetime lesson that although we are improving ourselves during this interval, this is really speaking about the whole year and our lives. And this is a way of reminding us that each and every single day we have that opportunity to improve a little bit upon where we were yesterday, and to strive a little bit harder, to give a little bit extra koach, a little bit extra strength. As difficult as it may be, there's so much yet to accomplish. And the more a person learns, the more a person realizes how much more there is to learn. And so in that chus, as we approach the holiday of learning, which is Shavuos, which is a night of learning and a day of learning, and it's obviously the learning should make an impression upon us, that it should improve our character trait, and incrementally, hopefully we'll get there very shortly, we should nevertheless remember that we have to move in a slow and in a directed fashion, such that we should not fall back, but we should continue to persevere and push forward with success. This is Mordechai Plaska wishing everyone hatzlacha and bracha in their learning. Special thanks again, Jake Wyman in Denver, Colorado, Arya Perlman, Santa Ana, New York, my good friends, and great to see you tonight, Arya, and spend time with you. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and God willing, we're going to be talking about the Mo'adim throughout the holiday of throughout the whole Parsha of Emor when we reconvene Sunday evening. Hopefully everyone can join us at that time. Have a great Shabbos.